This is Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.
Since 2009, the 709 Roller Derby League has been hitting the flat track in the St. John's area, growing from two people with a dream to a league of dozens with two regular teams and a travel team competing provincially. The sport has its roots in the 30s, but exploded online and around the world after being resurrected in Texas in the early 2000s as a brash, independent, and unapologetically feminist powerhouse sport. Today, there are over 430 leagues worldwide. Their 2017 season for 709 Derby here starts May 20th at the Jack Byrne Arena, and I'm going to talk to some Derby players today. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
So could you introduce yourselves to the audience?
Sure. My name is Ashley. I play under the name of Ashley Banks.
My name is Tina, and I play under Holmes Wrecker.
So, you know, Derby has been here for a while now, I guess almost 10 years. 8 years, whatever. But just explain to folks who haven't had a chance to see it yet, what is roller derby?
As far as a sport, roller derby is essentially a race. You have five on five, four blockers from each team and one jammer from each team. And the jammers are racing each other to pass the blockers. Each opposing blocker that a jammer passes, they get 1 point. And it goes around and around and around and around.
Yeah, and it's exactly like a track you would see at any other kind of race. And you guys are all suited up in sport armor, basically, so you don't do too much damage, but there is a little damage. It's a pretty high-contact sport, hey?
Full contact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I see that you have a broken arm here now, but you've assured me that this wasn't from the from the track.
I love my kids, but this is from playing around with them.
All right, there you go. And it accepts all walks of life. Like you say, you have several children, and there's people of all ages. What's kind of the age range of folks playing in Derby at 709?
For any adult roller derby league, the age is 19 plus.
Okay.
But we've had skaters anywhere from 19 all the way into their 40s, I think.
Close. I'm 43.
Yeah, and I think we've had close to 50, maybe?
Before my time.
But yeah, mostly 20s, 30s, some 40s. You know, if you're okay to get, you know, knocked around a bit, we don't care how old you are.
And there's a bit of outreach with kids, too. I guess that's a little less kind of full contact, but...
That's right. The junior branch of our league, which just started this month, they do not do full contact. They learn the basics. They learn how to fall and how to maneuver, but they don't hit each other.
You got to graduate to the violence.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
I accept
right.
that.
Yeah.
So where did all this come from? How is it that Derby just exploded in the last 20 years when it was kind of dormant for such a long time?
In the early 2000s, in Texas, actually, is when the first sort of wave of Derby revival started happening. It was a lot more campy then, a lot more similar to professional wrestling. There were costumes, there were, and we still hold on to some of that with the Derby names and the team names. You know, we don't necessarily go with, you know, an animal or a you know, named after a city or something like that. We tend to go with funnier names like the Neversweets or the Vixens. And there's a lot funnier ones out there. But originally, Derby was very much like a sideshow. It was fun. It was campy. It was colorful, and it was like nothing else that had ever sort of been around at the time. So it was a big draw.
Yeah, I've seen footage of the early games down in Texas, and they had, you know, like a big disco ball roller skate, and you know, they had drag queens and jugglers and all of this stuff, and it's kind of distilled more into a sport in the more traditional sense, I guess, now.
Yes,
with all of these leagues, hey?
Yeah, we definitely want to hold on to sort of the origins, the roots of, like, modern derby, because it is fun, and it is what sets it apart from other sports. But we, not just our league, but all leagues, have worked towards legitimizing the sport, making it into more of a real, you know, competition, real sport, as opposed to something that's more of a show. And it's certainly not staged like something like professional wrestling would be. The hits are real. Sure. The breaks are real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You folks can attest to that?
I had a girl on my team last year that broke her ankle at a game and the next morning had surgery on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry, I can say that I'm the first person that was ever taken out of a game on a stretcher.
Really?
That was an honor.
Did you get a badge for that you can put on your uniform?
Oh, that would be fantastic. We should work on that.
First blood?
Yeah. We've had a lot of breaks, a lot of ankles and things like that. You know, you're on roller skates and you're going full force. It's sort of to be expected at some point.
And you're taught to hit hard.
That's right.
How did it get from Texas to here? Like, what is the expansion of this that suddenly we can have this here as well?
Well, roller derby took off really quickly in the early 2000s. I think the fact that it was such a spectacle, I think the fact that it was so different and that it really tapped into a group of people that would really have never been into sports before, I guess. And not to say that everyone has zero sports background. I mean, I certainly don't. But I know that we have plenty of skaters in our league that are former hockey players or basketball players or any other sport. But as far as it taking off the way that it did, I think that because it was so different, it really sort of spoke to a different crop of people. You know, I know myself when I first saw it in 2009, and I actually saw a Facebook post of who wants to start roller derby in St. John's, and I was like, well, what's roller derby? And I looked it up, and I was like, oh yeah, that's for me. You know, because I had never played sports before, and I'm not, you know, I was never a jock, I was never into, you know, team sports or anything like that, but I saw this, and I was like, you mean I get to, like, wear a costume and be foolish, but then still get to, like, beat people up and, like, be athletic and roller skate? I love roller skating, you know? So it was different enough to draw a big crowd, I think, but also the fact that it is a sport, and it is, it's athletic, it's difficult, it'll get you sweating, and it'll, you know, and you get to knock people around a bit, then I think that draws a lot of people.
What initially, you know, you said that a lot of different types of people are attracted to the sport that wouldn't normally necessarily get involved in something like hockey or maybe even ultimate frisbee or mm-hmm. something like that. What initially attracted you to derby? Tina, how did you get involved with this?
There's a wonderful girl on the Never Sweets team that her son and my daughter done gymnastics together. And she started talking about this great sport that she played and how it was such a camaraderie towards the closeness of everybody playing. And it didn't matter what team you were on because you were still the same league and everybody was welcome. And it didn't matter how old you were and it didn't matter anything. If you wanted to play and you could pass the skills test, you were in. And she was like, oh, yeah, we got recruitment coming up. And I was like, what? Absolutely. Sign me up. Where do I go? And I haven't looked back.
Had you ever played sports before or even roller skated?
Yes. Yeah. I am one of the jocks.
You're coming from a sports background.
I am, yes.
Okay. What did you do before?
I done ringette. I roller skated. I played volleyball. I played basketball. I tried soccer.
Roller skating, obviously, but are the skills from any of those other team sports transferable?
Ringette, because ringette is similar to hockey, except instead of chasing a puck, you chase a ring.
Okay.
With a cut-off hockey stick.
I know that one.
So, essentially, it's the same skating skills, the same crossovers, and all that stuff.
Okay. And Ashley, how did you get involved with derby other than seeing that post? Did you play sports at all before, or what attracted you to that?
Not at all. In fact, I was very anti-team sport. You know, I'm very tall, and all through school, my high school gym teacher would beg me to join the basketball team or the volleyball team or any team, really. He you know, wanted me to do it, and I just was not into it. I'm not an athletic person normally. But like I said, because derby was so different looking, it was so unique. And it was so alternative to everything that I thought about sports, you know. But at the same time, I was still able to skate, and I love roller skating. I've rollerbladed, roller skated my whole life, and so I saw that I got to roller skate, I got to hit people, I got to dress crazy, and I, you know, and I got to have a nickname that, like, sort of, like, set me apart. And I just thought it was so unique and so different that I couldn't not join, really.
You know, you used the word alternative, I think, a second ago, and I think that really describes it well, because it definitely has more of a punk sensibility than you would see if you went to, like you said, a rugby match or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's helpful to the sport. I know that there is a lot of debate, particularly on the names. You know, everybody has colorful names, and there's a lot of that fun. There's a lot of, you know, capes and some face paint and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of showmanship in derby that you don't see in, you know, the NHL or what have you. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, like I said, I think that that's sort of something that we're trying to hold on to a little bit as the sport progresses towards more of a legitimate sport.
It was under consideration for the 2020 Olympics.
Yes, absolutely. And some of our players with Team Canada and Team USA and Team, you know, wherever, they're fantastic athletes. Like, they're, you know, beyond anything that I could ever imagine doing. But as far as holding on to the face paint and the costumes and the showmanship, there are definitely rules that have come into play to sort of maintain it while also making sure that it's safe and progressing. You know, you mentioned a cape. Capes are not permitted. We cannot wear capes. Anything that's loose, you know, that could get caught up in gear or caught up, you know, anywhere. We can't do anything like that. There was a time I remember there was skaters that would wear tutus out in games.
Sure.
No, absolutely not. That does not happen anymore. But, you know, the things that are safe that we're able to still play with, people sometimes still do, like the face paint. And I think the fact that it has originally especially had that sort of more punk sensibility is that is what the draw was for a lot of people. It certainly was for me. And again, like I said, that's sort of what set it apart from other sports. And we are holding on to that, but we are sort of moving in a direction of more like a more legitimate sport. And being considered for the Olympics was a huge step for that.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you think, you know, there's a lot of politics involved? I hate to use the word politics, but there's a philosophy to derby in a way that there isn't really if you joined an ultimate frisbee league or if you went to hockey. Like, it's about more than the sport. Is that something that's being maintained as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, because I think that it attracts sort of the misfit toys to the sport. I think that when we all realize that we found each other, you know, we're all on the island together. So it's I think that the camaraderie that Tina had mentioned is a huge part of it. You know, I when I joined roller derby, I was suddenly, you know, I suddenly had like 30 new friends that were my best friends. You know, and we're inseparable, and it's still held through all these years later. I mean, my best friend now lives in Ontario, and I can't wait to be in her wedding next year. And we met through roller derby, you know, and most of my friends I've met through roller derby or some branch of it.
This is Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM radio network.
We're back. I'm talking to Tina and Ashley from 709 Roller Derby. Their first game is coming up on the 20th at Jack Byrne Arena. You talked about derby as kind of really a support network, but also a circle of friends and, you know, meeting a lot of people. It is also a huge time commitment in terms of practices, not to mention the games itself, traveling if you're on the competitive team. Like, do you find that's a hard work-life balance? Tina, you mentioned that you're a mother.
You just make it work. My kids have their things that they do, and I make sure they get to their activities. So when it's derby night, it's mom's night. And if I have to sometimes on a Vixen Friday night practice take my daughter to practice, well, she comes with me because mommy got to skate.
Are they into derby at all? Are they going to get into this?
My son was thinking about the junior league, but unfortunately he plays lacrosse and there's only so much time.
There's only so much time.
And he's been playing lacrosse for about 5 years, so that's where his heart was, just like mine is skating, so I couldn't really say anything about it. But we do spend a lot of time playing kitchen derby, we like to call it, and we'll block each other and do small hip checks and stuff over in the kitchen playing around, so it's fun for that. I think my daughter will definitely get into the junior league when she gets a little bit older.
Yeah. How about you, Ashley? I think for anybody, the first thing I think when I think of joining a league is just that It's not like a lot of other hobbies where there's a massive time commitment just to get yourself in shape to do the activity. Do you find that infringes at all, or is it all just kind of a lifestyle now?
It certainly is a lifestyle. You know, the running joke is that, you know, when you join Derby, I hope you're ready to just give up everything else in your life and just make it your life, because depending on how involved you want to be, it can be a huge time commitment. There are roles within the league. We have a board as well as a whole slew of committee members and committee heads. And depending on what role you're in, it can be a huge time commitment. I know that just alone with answering emails and organizing practice spaces and just coordinating with all the other members of the committees and the members of the board, it takes up quite a lot of free time on my part. And I know that the good thing with Derby, though, much like we accept all kinds, you know, it doesn't matter what who you are or what size, shape, you know, color, whatever you are, you can come and join Derby in some way. You also have the option of committing as much time as you want. And because this is something that I love, I've spent the last 7 years committing most of my free time to it. But there are levels. A committee member versus a committee head versus a board member versus, you know, a league president or whatever. There's all different levels of time commitments. However, we do encourage as much involvement as possible from all of our skaters.
Well, it doesn't happen on its own, I guess.
So. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're a league ran by league members, so if they don't volunteer, then we don't have anybody running stuff.
Right. How many people are in the league now? There's two teams active, right? You've had more in the past. How many people are you wrangling when you set up something like this?
If we're talking just team members right now, I think we're in the 30-something range. But there are team members, volunteers, board members that aren't on teams. There are recreational skaters that aren't on teams. We have referees, exactly. We have, and then there's the junior branch. You know, and
wow.
That has their own whole thing.
And our announcers, of course.
Of course. Our wonderful
announcers.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of people involved. And, of course, then you've got the fans and the people that come to these games. There are regular people that come to these games. Some are family members or friends, but some are just kind of obsessive fans that really get into this. And you know, like, what's your experience been with the fan community? Are you out there signing autographs for them? Or
I love at the end of games, we encourage all of the crowd to come on down onto the track. And our skaters, you can meet and greet. You can talk. You can get an autograph if you want to. The kids love getting autographs, and that's so fun when they run over to you with their poster or their T-shirt or their whatever, and they want you to sign it. I'm like, yes, I'm a celebrity. I'll totally sign that, you know. But I've had strangers with Bashley Bank signs in the crowd, like no people I've never met before. And that by far was like, that was mind blowing. You know, when I saw that, I was like, holy smokes, like, this is a big
like,
deal.
Unprompted, this is a person.
Yeah,
never...
this is just someone who saw me and like, you know, dug what I was doing. And that was super cool, I gotta say. That was like, I geeked out at their sign, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really neat.
How about you?
Apparently I got a whole family into playing Derby just because I went over and started talking to a little girl after a game. And then there's another one that had an interview that was saying that her favorite player was Holmesrecker.
Yeah, all right.
Kind of made me big smile.
Yeah, you don't forget those ones, hey?
No.
Like, those are the ones that stick in your mind and you're like, oh, that's so cool.
I guess, I mean, especially with the colorful costumes and the names, you're kind of like superheroes to a lot of these kids that are watching, you know?
Yep.
So it's a little different than even at another sport where, you know, that's Steve on ice skates or something. Yeah. Maybe I'm biased on this one. Where do you think that the league is going from here? So you've got your season coming up. What's set for this season?
So right now we have our first game of the season starting. It's on May 20th at Jack Byrne Arena. You can get tickets through our Facebook page, through our website. You can contact any of our skaters. And after that, we have two other public games scheduled for the rest of the season. But as we grow and as we evolve and as we change, we're looking into ways of making games more accessible, making playing with the structure of games. We're interested in having more open public games that you wouldn't necessarily come and pay for a ticket. It's more of an open scrimmage where you can just come and watch if you want. Less structured, not quite the same as a public game. But we're looking at all different kinds of options. But as of right now, May 20th is the big day.
We'll talk about it. I'll send out links on how to get tickets and things like that. Where do you see the league going in the future? Like, is this going to kind of maintain as a local thing? Or, are you talking to people from other towns in the island about, like, is there going to be a Corner Brook league that you can fight against?
That would be incredible. It's difficult in this province because we're so isolated.
There's one that's starting up, hopefully, in Labrador.
In Labrador, that's right.
We got a player that moved to Labrador, and she's in the process of trying to get one started up there.
Wow, all right.
And we've always been interested in expanding, and we're so excited that we've got our junior branch started this year. That's been something that's been talked about for the last three seasons. And the fact that it's finally getting going is just phenomenal, and so we're going to put, you know, as much energy into that as we can right now to make it work, to make it right, and to make it successful. And then from there, we would love to branch out into other communities. The small population is certainly an obstacle, but if we have committed people in other parts of the province that want to get a team or a league branch started in their province, give us a call. Send us an email. We're more than happy to help you out.
And this is all across Canada as well. There are leagues in other places. You've competed against some of them. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we've traveled to some of the Atlantic provinces to compete against some of the teams there, and that's been really fun. We haven't done that in a little while just because, like I said, it is difficult with us being so isolated and traveling, and most of our travel costs are up to the skaters to cover. So there are some fundraising and things like that that we try to help with, but for the most part, your plane ticket, your lodging, your all of that is skater funded. So it is something that we are like always on the lookout for and looking at different ways of traveling, because it's not just tournaments, but there are training camps and things like that that we don't need to necessarily send an entire team to. You know, if three or four skaters decide they want to go do it, we love that. You know, they do that occasionally in other Atlantic provinces. So we've done that in the past, and there are leagues all across the country and all across the world, really. There are very few countries that actually don't have a roller derby league in some way, shape, or form.
And there's the two types that are played as well. There's flat and banked track, where they're screaming around at insane speeds on an inclined track. Which have you played either, or are you
never
strictly
been lucky
flat
enough
track?
To do that? Yeah, no. Banked track is rare. It's something that
I guess you'd have to build the track.
You would, and they're not cheap. We've looked into it, but. No, bank tracks are more common in the United States, especially southern states. These bank tracks that have existed there already since the 70s, you know, when you know, the older style roller derby was going on. But most roller derby is flat track. In fact, the governing body that we operate under is WFTDA, which is the Women's Flat Track Roller Derby Association. So while, you know, I have had the opportunity to skate with other leagues in other provinces and other countries, and it's been really fun. I have yet to be able to get up on a flat track and give that one a go.
So obviously everybody listening to this right now is dying to get involved with roller derby. What would your advice be to them right now, people just starting out?
Give us an email. We've got all kinds of information we can send you. Come to games. Come to different public events that we have and talk to skaters. It's definitely a word-of-mouth type of sport. We've attracted most of our skaters through word of mouth. And if you're interested and you want to know what it's all about, look up some videos online. There's so many resources. And don't buy gear until you've talked to a skater.
Uh-huh. Is this a common mistake to...
Yes, especially for the newbies.
Show up on your Fisher-Price rollers and your...
They get excited, you know. You want to get it now. You want to get it
Absolutely.
Done now. You want to buy your gear today. But like anything, you know, like hockey, you're not going to go out and buy the cheapest pair of sneakers, you know. So there's lots of advice that we can give as far as purchasing gear and starting up in the league. We are. The date isn't 100% set in stone yet, but end of this month we're looking at starting another recruitment night for the next round of what we call fresh meat. So that is essentially our...
Intimidating.
Yes, our Learn to Skate program is the official name, but we really... Learn to Skate is one of those old derby names that have kind of stuck with it over the years. But it is our Learn to Skate program, and we are hoping to start the next round either the end of May or the 1st of June-ish. Yeah.
Tina, do you have any pro tips for the noobs?
If you want something bad enough, you're going to make it happen, and it's for the love of the sport that you're playing it, so just always give it everything you got and enjoy it.
And at last, how, again, can people come and see you on May 20th?
Check out our Facebook page. It's going to have all the information, 709 Roller Derby. Our website, 709rollerderby.com, and all ticket information will be through the site. We've actually just started rolling with our advertising of our first game of the season, so you can see all of that online.
And it is an amazing show. And I'm going to be there, of course, and I am privileged enough that you allow me to shout at you while you're actually playing the sport.
So we love it.
Thank you for that. And, yeah, it's going to be a blast at Jack Byrne on May 20th. I hope you folks can come. And Ashley and Tina, thank you very much for coming on Web Trawler today.
Thank you for having us.
Cheers.
This has been Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.